come to you today as both a disciple and a confessor to let you know that the message I'm going to preach, it's the second time I preach it to the flock because we had the first service. And I go over a message two times before I ever preach it to any of you. And so God's been preaching this message to me because I need this message. And all of you need this message. Cast all your anxiety on Him. Who's Him? We live in a world of making it sure what we mean by our pronouns. Who is Him? Notice chapter 5, verse 1. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. Him is Christ. As well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that's among you, exercising oversight. In verse 4, and when the chief shepherd appears, that's who Him is, the chief shepherd of the sheep. When He appears, you'll receive the unfading crown of glory. Now, our text. One little, often forgotten, forsaken little verse, tucked into 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Casting all your anxieties on who? Him. Who's that? Christ, the shepherd, the chief shepherd. Casting all your anxieties on Christ, Him, the shepherd, the chief shepherd, because He, the chief shepherd, cares for you. Let's ask the Lord to open the Word to our hearts this morning and to apply them to each one of our needy hearts. We are all many times an anxious people. Father, thank You. Thank You for showing me again this week that You are my sure and steady anchor that will never be removed. What happens, Lord, in that wave of death that we sang about in the last verse is that we go from the journey to the shore. And You who have carried our burdens will now carry us to Your throne. You'll carry us to Your house. You'll carry us home. And for all of us, Lord, we're nearing the shore. We're nearing the shore. Trouble soon will be over. We'll suffer no more. Trouble all past. The victory at last. Oh, it is wonderful to be nearing the shore. Teach us to cast all our anxiety on You, Christ, our shepherd, our chief shepherd, for You care for us. In Jesus' name, we thank You for anointing Your word. Thank You, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. For most of us, anxieties are paralyzing. There's something about anxiety that is gripping, all-consuming. And yet George Mueller, that great man of prayer and faith, he said some things that are hard to hear but are needed today. He said the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. And the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. I want to say it again. The beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. And the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. So many folk have asked me, Pastor, can we have fears? And the answer is, yes, as in the book of Habakkuk, that prophet had fears. Fear and faith can coexist if fear does not win, but faith wins. Faith must win. And when faith wins, fear and faith can coexist. One of the reasons why God can use me is I am such a fearful man, but I have to keep giving my fears to God. And when faith wins, they can coexist. Thomas Jefferson said, "How much has it cost us? The evils that never happened." That's a telling question. How many things have you worried about that never, ever happened? Another man, Arthur Somers Roche, said, "Anxiety is a thin stream of fear trickling through the mind. If encouraged, it cuts a channel deeply, which all other thoughts are drained to flow through." How many of us have made it through these first 5 months of 2022 without some deep anxieties? And don't raise your hand, because I want you to be honest. How do we know if we have deep anxieties, cares, and worries? Well, let me give you a few ideas. When that concern is our first thought in the morning when we wake up, and our last thought at night when we go to bed, and the one thing that wakes us up during the night and keeps us from sleeping, then that anxiety has a stranglehold. It's strangling us. When we think about that same concern in every spare moment, it's our default mode. Anxiety is strangling us. When we find we bring up that concern in almost every conversation, we are being strangled by that anxiety. Anxiety displaces God, and we live as though God did not exist. Anxieties and worry distract us from all the things that really matter in life. And I heard this years ago, and it's really true. Anxiety is like a rocking chair. It gives us something to do, but it doesn't get us anywhere. And I want you to know that's what anxieties do for us. It gives us something to do if you don't have anything to do, but it doesn't get us anywhere. I did some research on anxieties this week, and I found out that an average person's anxiety is focused 40% of the time on things that will never happen. 30% of the time on things about our past that cannot be changed. 12% on criticism we have received from others, most of it which is untrue. 10% about our health, which is getting worse because of our anxieties. And 8% about real problems that we are facing. Which means roughly that 92% of all of our cares and anxieties are about issues that we cannot do anything about. What does our anxiety do for us? Anxiety never empties tomorrow of its sorrow. But it does empty today of its strength. Anxiety never makes us escape the feared evil that's up ahead. But it does make us unfit to cope with that evil if it does come. The heaviest thing in all the world, and there may be many of them here today, is a heavy heart. If you have a heavy heart, there's nothing heavier than a heavy heart. Perry Tanksley said it this way. He said, "You can't change the past, but you can ruin a perfectly good present by worrying over the future. Anxiety is the interest that's paid by us before it's due when we borrow trouble." This past week, one morning, I don't know which one it was, I believe it was Tuesday morning, I saw what appeared to be a golden eagle in the sky, quite a ways away. And I remembered that Dan McCarron, who used to be a part of our church, said, "If you ever see a golden eagle, wait for just a moment and you'll see two, because they travel in pairs." And I waited, and here it came, and they sailed past the window. But I have something to tell you. that you may have never thought of before, but you say it's a no-brainer, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Soaring eagles don't worry about crossing rivers. I'll say that again. I just want it to sink in. Soaring eagles never worry about crossing rivers. We sang about those that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and they will not faint. As long as we're worrying, we can't do much of anything else. I know most of us today know everything I'm going to preach. And so that's intimidating. But I'm going to share it anyway. Paul said, I know you already know this, but I'm going to remind you of what you already know. And so I'm going to tell you about what you already know today because anxiety has such a stranglehold on our lives. Peter comes to us with instruction and a reminder as a divine command for us, a divine call that this is to be a continuous obedience daily in our lives to cast all our anxieties on Him, Christ, the shepherd, the chief shepherd of the sheep, because He cares for you. Dr. E. Stanley Jones said it this way, I am inwardly fashioned for faith, not for fear. Fear is not my native land. Faith is. I am so made that worry and anxiety are sand in the machinery of my life. Faith is the oil. I live better by faith and confidence than by fear, doubt, and anxiety. In anxiety and worry, my being is gasping for breath. These are not my native air, but in faith and confidence, I breathe freely. These are my native air. Today I'm preaching to many of us who are good and godly disciples of Jesus Christ. And yet we struggle with troubled, anxious hearts. I want us to open up the Word of God, which we have, to 1 Peter 5:7. And I want us to examine four lessons from this one little verse. Four lessons that can teach us all we probably ever would need to know about anxieties if we'd apply it. Number one, this definite calling to cast our anxieties is to you, and 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 you. It's to us. Notice, casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. We live in a world that's very impersonal. Many of us may not know our neighbor's names. We can purchase almost anything we want on the internet and never make contact with a real person. It'll come right to our door and we won't even know how it got there, but somebody dropped it off. Yet we are not just a number on God's cosmic computer. The Scripture says He knows your name. He knows my name. Today, Jesus is talking to you and you and you and you and you. Matthew 10:30, Jesus testified something that maybe you're aware of too much in these days. Don't know how many of you suffer for chronically losing more hair every morning when you wash your hair, take a shower or bath, and you comb it out, and there goes another swath. And you say, what's going to happen to me if this keeps happening? Well, the Scripture says that Jesus testifies to us in Matthew 10:30 that every hair of your head is numbered, and He keeps the count. He knows every morning when you comb or brush your hair how many more hairs have fallen out of your head. He knows specifically about you and your temptations, your specific temptations. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, we read, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted above your ability, but will with the temptation also provide the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God created you, and it's remarkable that He knows all about you. He knows all about me. This definite call to cast anxieties is then for you. He knows what you're anxious about right now. I'm going to say that again. Let it settle in. Some of you are having a hard time concentrating because of the anxiety. He knows what you're anxious about right now. Is it a medical matter? Is it a test result you're waiting to get back? Is it concerns about the loss of a loved one? Concerns related to your marriage? Is it concerns about having adequate food in the house or money to buy food after paying for your prescriptions or doctor bills? God knows about each of our anxieties. They are no secret to Him. It's an interesting thing. At this point in my message, I got a phone call. And when I got the phone call, it was something I've been praying about for a long, long time. And it made me cry with joy. And the Lord said to me in my spirit, "I'm concerned about you. You've been giving that anxiety to me every day. See, this is about you. This message is first for you, preacher. It's for you." And so it was for me before I'm ever sharing it with you. God's been thinking about me. And God's been thinking about each one of you. Claim Psalm 139, 16 and 17. It says, "How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I could count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you." Can you think that God today is thinking about you 24/7, even while you're sleeping? It's true. When Jesus was on His way to the cross, He started up from down by the Dead Sea and He was nearing Jericho. Been there. And as He came to Jericho, before He got to Jericho, there was a blind man that had gotten the PR report about Jesus that He was coming to town. And he got as close as he could to the multitude and he started screaming. His name was Bartimaeus. Do you remember him, the son of Timaeus? He's screaming, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And the disciples said, "Be quiet, the Lord is busy." "Jesus, thou son of David, be quiet. Jesus, thou son of David." And this is going on like that. And Jesus stops. And He said, "Call him. Call him." Now the disciples go over to the blind man, the son of Timaeus, Bartimaeus. And they said, "Take heart. Take heart. He is calling for you." And so they brought him, this blind man, to Jesus. And the blind man said, "What is it that you want?" He said, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." He said, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight. This morning, what God has to say to you, first of all this morning, is take heart. He's heard your cry. He's calling for you. Take heart. This definite calling to cast our anxieties is to you. Jesus has seen the blindness of your anxieties that it's caused. He sees the toll the anxiety has had on your life. Take heart then. He is calling for you. Secondly, not only is the definite calling to cast our anxieties a message for each of you, but this deliberate casting is all about your possessive anxieties. Your anxieties. Notice, 1 Peter 5, 7 says, "Casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you." Your anxieties are in this verse. Your anxieties are right here in 1 Peter 5:7. He's got you in the Bible. There you are in the Bible. There are your anxieties, beloved. What's an anxiety? The word is merimna. M-E-R-I-M-N-A. If you transliterate the Greek, it means a distraction. A thought that divides your interest from what's at hand to deal with. It means we don't know whether to do this or that. We're in a quandary. It's an uneasy feeling. It allows our mind to dwell on difficulties and troubles, and we can't focus on what we need to do. It means to strangle and seize by the throat. Pressures, anxieties are squeezing us. It sends us on a roller coaster, and we can be confused. And on Thursday, when I got just about this far, on Thursday afternoon, this far on my message, God was right with me. He gave me another phone call. Got a phone call. The man is many states away. And he says, Pastor, do you have any time for me? I said, absolutely. I have to have time for you. He says, I'm facing some hard decisions and I'm very confused. I said, I just wrote down in the message I'm preparing, anxieties make us confused. You called me at just the right time. Let's talk about it together. And we did. Has one or more of your anxieties caused confusion in your week this week? The scripture says in 1 Corinthians 14:33, for God is not a God or an author of confusion. Now, I want to say something to you. A lot of people are quick to judge and tell you, I know the reason for your confusion. It's because God isn't speaking to you at all. You're not speaking to God. Well, I want to tell you something. I want to tell you something. Just because we're confused doesn't mean God isn't speaking to us. It means, however, often that our minds or someone else's mind related to this issue has already been made up. And our will and God's will is colliding. Have you ever had your will and God's collide? When they collide, it's quite a collision. It's like a warm front and a cold front. Bam! You know who had that happen in her life in Scripture? Anyone remember Martha? Bless her heart. I'm so glad the Lord told us about her in Luke 10:38-42. In verse 41. She was so merimna, so distracted with her much serving. She had all the disciples and everyone else that had come to her house. And there is Mary, her sister, supposed to be helping her cook. And she's at Jesus' feet listening to Jesus. And she comes to Jesus and she said, Lord, do you not care that my sister Mary has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to come help me. And Jesus answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious, merimna. You're troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her. Martha's ready to pull out her hair, to pull out Mary's hair. This is an awful thing. And she even comes against Jesus. Lord, don't you care about me? Don't you care about what's going on here? Anxieties divide us. They distribute our thinking. They disunite us. That's what worry and undue concern does. So what are we to do with our anxieties? Verse 7 says, cast all your anxieties on Him. Now that's an interesting word. It's a compound word. Epiripto. The word ripto, R-H-I-P-T-O, is a sudden motion, fling with a quick toss. Throw out an anchor. We talked about our anchor going even deeper. It will never be removed. Fling your anxieties upon Him. Throw yourselves upon the Lord. The Greek word epi, and then ripto, epi means toward. So all of our anxieties are to be going towards the Lord. Another word picture of epiripto is used for saddling a horse. Any of you into horsemanship and like horses? If you are, you'll understand epiripto. It's the throwing of a saddle on the back of a horse, saddling it so it will carry the load or carry you. Luke 19:35 tells the story of Jesus' triumphal entry. And it says, and they brought the colt to Jesus, and they epiripto, they cast their garments on the colt for a saddle, and they put Jesus on it. This image of casting all our cares upon God is an Old Testament image. And we heard Pastor Larry read out of Psalm 55. He read from that masculine, Psalm 55:22. Cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be shaken or moved. And that word mote in the Hebrew means to waver, to slip, to shake, to fall, to be removed. God doesn't want you and me. He doesn't want us shaking in our boots, wavering, slipping, distracted. He wants us to look to Jesus. And He says in Psalm 37:5, commit your way. Epiripto, commit your way to the Lord. Literally, roll your burden on the Lord. Trust in Him and He will act. He will bring it to pass. Another illustration of epiripto is found in Luke 12:11-12. And Jesus is talking about the coming days prophetically and the immediate days of the disciples and their persecution. He said, and when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not be epiripto. Don't be at all merimna. Don't be distracted about how you should defend yourself or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you are to say. Anxiety implies some degree of distrust of God's sovereignty. Also, some kind of thinking that we may be able to manage this better ourselves. How many of you thought, well, I'll take care of this one myself? Each of us find ourselves with an illustration I think you can understand. It came to me as I was preparing this message. How many of you have ever heard of football? Oh, okay. You're a crowd that knows about football. In August, we'll see it again. If you don't have a football channel, you watch all year long. And all I can say is, if you're the quarterback, and you are with this anxiety football, when the center gives it to you, you know what you've got to do with that football. You've got to hand it off here, or throw it. Or there's a blitz coming and you're sacked just like that. And you lost ground. Why? Because you never handed off that football. How many of us have been losing ground even this week because we won't let go of the football of anxiety? The success of a quarterback is how fast and how wise he is in getting rid of the football. Our daily success is how fast and how often we hand over the ball of our anxieties to the Lord. But let me tell you something that happens in the morning. It happens in the morning. Sometimes the first thing, if you don't begin with God, there's a little voice that says, remember what's coming today. This is the day you have to pay your bills. This is the day you have to go early for the tests up at the hospital. This is the day you have that test at school. This is going to be a bad day. This is going to be a miserable day. Now, it won't mean a hill of beans if you've already given it to God. You know what to do with that voice. But otherwise, it'll be a loud voice. Peter is calling us by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to cast our burden and our anxieties on the Lord, to commit them to Him, to roll them over onto Him, to make them His concern, not ours. Do it as an act of faith. But remember that how you learn to cast your anxieties upon the Lord is by bringing your sins to the Lord day after day after day. Confess your sins. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And when we yield our lives to Him and we confess our sins, we learn to cast it upon Him. We cast our sins, we cast our anxieties on Him. When those conditions are met, it's an easier way to live. Oh, we may have to drink that cup that's before us. We may have to take that test. We may have to bear that discipline. We may have to do that work God calls us to do. But casting our anxieties upon Jesus is what he says we must always do without exception. So what have I told you so far? I've told you this definite calling is to cast our anxieties, and it's to each of you. I've told you this deliberate casting is all about your individual anxieties. And thirdly, and I told you you knew all this, but I'm going to remind you, this divine carrier of your anxieties is Jesus. This divine carrier of your anxieties is Jesus, casting all your anxieties on him, Christ, the shepherd, the chief shepherd, because he cares for you. Either Jesus is going to carry the anxiety or you will. And if you or I carry it, we'll be divided, distracted, we'll be disturbed, frustrated, confused, overwhelmed, overburdened. If he carries our anxieties, we'll still have troubles. But they will not be consuming and dominating. They won't leave us in hopeless despair. Now, I want to give you a picture that I hope you remember. It's a picture of another meaning of epiripto, casting. One of the meanings is to throw it off with vigor, to lay it down quickly. And I want to tell you about a trip that I've taken before, and I'd like to take again, maybe this summer. Have you ever been up to the Cirque? Anybody ever been up to the Cirque Towers? It's quite a place to go. Lonesome Lake. It's 9 miles from the big sandy openings. 6 miles is going uphill, but it's not real bad. But the last 3 miles are treacherous. Sometimes you have to just climb over the rocks. But let's say you've got a backpack on. Now, it's not quite as heavy as when you went up there because you've eaten some of what you brought up, but it's still pretty heavy. And you're on your way out, and you've been on the trail for a long time. You stopped at Big Sandy Lake and rested for a little bit, and now you're walking the last 6 miles, and you finally make it to the pickup. What's the first thing that you do? What? Take off the backpack. You put it on the tailgate of your pickup. And you go, oh. Wow. Our divine burden bearer, our divine anxiety carrier. He says, unload all your anxieties on me if you are into control. Now, I know many of us are here, we're into control. We like to think that maybe we can take care of this anxiety better than God or anyone else. We fancy it's valuable to worry, even though the Bible says it's a sin for us to live in worry. We have the illusion of control when we keep carrying the backpack. It's like getting picked up and there's no room in the pickup, but there's room in the bed of the truck. So we get in the bed of the truck and the man pulls over the side and he says, sir, you're free to take off your backpack. But there you are, sitting in the back, still holding your backpack. Just drop it. Just drop it. Just drop it. Oh, beloved, are you and I going to drop what God has told us to drop? He's calling us. He's commanding us. He is appealing to us. Let me carry your anxiety backpack all the way to heaven. Imagine, it's Jesus, the servant of all. It's the one that washes our feet, who insists on carrying them. Either he carries our anxieties or we do. How can we say no to the most intimate, personal invitation for him to carry our burdens? Can he be trusted? Now, that's a big question, and I tell you, I've met many Christians over the years, hundreds, who don't trust the Lord to carry their burdens. You say, no, that's not true. It is true. What do they contend? Let me tell you what they contend. Give it all to Jesus and I know what he'll do. That's why I can't do it. He'll ask you to do things you don't want to do. He'll ask you to be someone you don't want to be. He'll bring unpleasant people into your life that you don't want to be with. He'll send you places you don't want to go. I don't want to turn it over to him. I know what he's going to do. Why do you think I don't want to be his disciple? It's too hard. I have to carry my cross. I don't want to do it. When we secretly fear Jesus can't be trusted, we decide to handle our own anxieties. We wonder why we're so frustrated, confused, and unfulfilled. The biggest problem I know with casting our anxieties on Jesus, personally, is most of us are good at casting. We're like fishermen. We can cast it on Jesus. But the same way that we cast it on Jesus, we know how to cast it out and snare it from him and reel it back in. We give it to him and take it back. We give it to him and take it back. That's why the author of that chorus years ago, we used to sing, "Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, God will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there." I know that sounds too simple. And because it sounds too simple, we refuse to do it. But tomorrow morning, we'll have an anxiety hangover if we don't give it to him now. Have you seen anyone with a hangover and a headache? It's awful. It's an awful thing if you've had one. There's a gospel chorus that says, "Cheer up, you saints of God. There's nothing to worry about. Nothing to make you feel afraid. Nothing to make you doubt. Remember, Jesus never fails, so why not trust him?" And shout, "You'll be sorry you worried at all tomorrow morning." And I want you to know, if you want a hangover, you can have it by holding on to your anxiety all day, all night. Start the morning off with Jesus. Give him your anxieties first thing in the morning. Last of all, and I love this one, this delightful charm in casting is that he, Christ, the shepherd, the chief shepherd, cares for you. He cares for you. You know, I can just pick you out. Mary Carey, Corey Gardner, Ryan Williams, Hannah Romero, Ed McKee, all of us, he cares for you. The word for cares is mellow. The simple little word means he's concerned about you. It matters to him about you. We're the object of his care. Go back to sleep. It matters to him. Beloved, when you wake up in a panic, give it to Jesus. Quote scripture, sing songs, but give it back to God. God is doing the job of making your concerns matter to him. If he is our pilot and he's in the cockpit, why are we worrying back there in A23? Isn't it amazing that we do that? If our captain is at the helm, why are we worrying in our cabin? When we place our anxieties in the hands of God, be certain it is as good as done. Divine care is so deep. Jesus came to this earth to rescue and redeem you. There's never been a time in all of eternity that he hasn't been thinking about you, because he's known you from before the foundation of the earth. Isn't that amazing? Fathomless carefulness and love. He loves you. There's never been a moment he hasn't loved you, brooded over you, cared for you. He knows every volunteer. He cares about each anxious thought you have. It is a fathomless carefulness of all of your concerns. No mother ever cared for a child like God cares for you and me. There is no moment that he doesn't know every twitch of your eyelid, every wrinkle of your brow, every need, every desire. He knows it all before we even express it to him. Even before he knows we're going to feel the pain, he feels it for us. He knows what is coming, and he anticipates it and says, "Bring it to me." We need to trust him. I heard a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful message recently. It was by Shadowcast. Some of you have listened to that blog that Owen and Preston and Nathan do. And they had three more with them the other day when Owen and Nathan weren't there. And they talked about singleness. Singleness. Some of you may have an anxiousness of singleness. And they talked about a verse of Scripture that I have in my message. 1 Corinthians 7:32, and it's this. I want you to be free from anxieties. God's got that in His hands. He's got that in His hands. He's got everything in His hands. At the heart of biblical Christianity is 1 Peter 5:7. God cares for us. He cares for you. He cares for me. He proved it by sending His own Son to die for us. The issue was settled for all time at the cross of Calvary. Any God who would sacrifice His own Son, and there's only one God who could. There's only one God. He must care for you. He must care for me. There's no other reason He would do such a thing as take all of that pain and sorrow at Calvary for you and me to pay for our sin. There's no other reason. When we come to God, we don't have to convince Him to listen to us. You don't have to say the same prayer over and over 20, 30, 40, 50 times. It won't help. You don't have to chant. You don't have to burn incense. You don't have to shout. You don't have to ring bells. You don't have to get a priest. No, He is our high priest. You don't have to bring a sacrifice, a sacrificial lamb. He is the sacrificial lamb. We come as His children, and He gladly hears us. The veil was rent in twain at the cross from top to bottom. He's opened up a new and living way. He hears us. We don't do anything to make Him care for us more. And there's nothing we do that makes Him care for us less, even when we sin. We start from the assurance, rooted in history, that God cares for us, and on that basis, we unload all our anxieties upon Him. Now, I told you a little research at the first of my message, and I come to the close of this message and remind you of that research. Each week, the average person in America, this research says, spends 14 hours and 31 minutes being anxious. Now, some of you do much better than that, but that's just the average. That equals 744 hours of anxiety each year, 45,243 hours of anxiety over an average lifetime. That's 1,885 days of your life, which is 5.2 years of my life and yours, captured by anxiety. And you go to the doctor, or you go to a psychiatrist, or you go to a counselor of some sort, and you say, I just had trouble sleeping. And you know what? There's probably not a one of us that don't at times have trouble sleeping. But part of the reason is we haven't cast our cares on Him. We feel under so much pressure, we find it hard to concentrate. It's not just one thing. It's all of these things wrapped up together, and it gets heavier and heavier. It's our job, it's our school, it's our church, it's our money, it's our work, it's our health, it's bills to pay. It's our husband, or it's our wife, or it's the lack of having a husband or a wife, and it's our family, and it's our children. And under the ball of all of this heavy anxiety, our knees begin to buckle. That calls us back to the delightful charm of casting all our cares on Jesus, for He cares for you and me. As I close, I just want to remind you of what I told you. I told you already knew it, didn't you? You already knew everything I was going to say. But I told you again. What did I tell you? This definite calling to cast your anxieties is to you. This deliberate casting is all about your anxieties. This divine carrier of your anxieties is Jesus, the Christ, the chief shepherd of the sheep. This delightful charm is casting because He cares for you. Would you bow your head?